Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from newsounds.org and streaming live on Facebook. I'm John Schaefer. The group called Oracle Hysterical is a difficult one to pin down. They're based here in New York, but where they really live is at the intersection of art rock, contemporary classical music, and literary studies. Their latest album is called Hecuba, and it is based on the ancient Euripides tragedy of that name about the mythical queen of Troy. The songs on Hecuba have the ambition and even sometimes the instrumentation of classical music, but they inhabit a kind of rock soundscape, and the band is here to play a couple of them for us today on Soundcheck. This first one is called Helen. Thank you. That song is called Helen. It's from the band Oracle Hysterical. You'll find it on their brand new album called Hecuba. Just not that performance. That was done live here in our Soundcheck studio. Let me introduce you to the members of Oracle Hysterical, beginning with the twin brothers who hold down the bass end of things. Brad Balliott plays the bassoon. Doug Balliott started on the electric bass guitar, and halfway through that song, you switched, Doug, to a viola da gamba.
That's right, to a seven-string bass viola da gamba.
Which is an instrument from the Baroque period.
From the Baroque period, with frets and everything.
Yeah. Majel Connery singing and playing the keyboard, and Chris Botta behind the laptop and playing the guitar, and behind our drum kit, Dylan Green. The other member of the band, Elliot Cole, who is a guitarist, keyboardist, vocalist, not here with us today, but these five are. Majel, what were you singing? Were those lyrics taken from the Euripides text of Hecuba?
With some degree of interpretive freedom.
Right,
yes.
Right.
All the texts that we used were either drawn from or inspired by passages from the play. And,
right.
Helen is the character who begins the whole
Helen of Troy,
exactly.
The face that launched 1,000 ships.
Correct.
The name of the band, Oracle Hysterical, suggests that you might have had kind of this ancient Greek thing in mind when the band formed several years ago. Is that true?
I think there's always been a love of the ancient here. And when it first started out, it was actually Brad and Elliot making a sort of twisted brand of hip-hop when they were living in Houston together.
Hip-hop with a bassoon?
Yes, with a bassoon and with some lyrics that I guess the goal was to sound a little bit like a hysterical oracle. You know, if you can imagine Delphi doing what she does. I think they succeeded in that back then.
And then how did that morph into this kind of band meets book club thing?
So these guys were living in Houston. I was living in San Antonio, and I started, you know, bringing some songs over, and then we all moved to New York. Lo and behold, Majel shows up to do some improvising with us, and we loved her voice, so we invited her in, and then it was just sheer serendipity that we got hooked up with Chris and Dylan here, and now I think we've found our team.
The qualified members of the band have to be extreme nerds.
Well, you know, if you're going to live at, as I said, at that intersection of classical, contemporary classical, and sort of the artier end of rock, you're going to have to be able to drop, you know, King Crimson into a sentence as easily as you would Steve Reich or Bryce Dessner or Nico Muhly or any of the other contemporary composers. Now, Doug mentioned improvising. How much of what we just heard began as improvisation, and how much of this is now kind of like fully notated music?
Yeah, this is one of the best examples of a song that was completely improvised, using the studio as a compositional space.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than the slightly more traditional method of a band jamming together, putting together a song in a rehearsal space and then going into the recording studio, we pretty much started there with a really simple electric bass line, I think.
Right. I had this bass line kicking around, and that was the day we met Majel, and she came in and improvised that tune that she just sang pretty much on the first time around.
Wow.
And we loved it, and we wrote it down eventually, but it was never really about that.
So you improvised the tune, and then you had to find a story to fit it. Is that how?
No, I had the lyrics.
You did.
Elliot handed me like a torn out scrap of half piece of paper with some stuff scribbled on it, and I used those lyrics. It became the first song in the album, partly because it's a great opener, but partly because it was the first thing we ever did as a foursome back then when we were just four. It was really, really gratifying and really unusual way to compose.
Yeah.
It felt very, all parts felt equal and sort of aggregated roughly over the same day together to create a composite that we like. We like that spontaneous feel of it, so that's why we preserved the sort of original improvisation in the final track.
So there's a previous Oracle Hysterical recording and numerous other projects that precede Hecuba. But this song that you just played, Helen, that was the first of this lineup.
Of this project, yeah. That's right. Yeah, and the first one that Majol joined us for. And since then, we did a whole fake spear disc with new vintage Baroque, you know, poetry once attributed to Shakespeare.
But, and now known to
debunked.
Be spurious, yeah.
Exactly. Right. And we did a collaboration with a Far Cry also, which we hope to record next year, but all based around texts that have to do with the sea.
Right. But this piece, Hecuba, is the subject of the brand new record. This next song, Majol, this is from much further in the project, the song No Comfort.
This is the very last song on the album, and probably the most epic and tragic song any of us has ever written, which seems like a fitting end to a deeply sad play.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should just briefly, you know, for folks who haven't read Euripides or kind of misty on the history of ancient Troy, Hecuba was the queen. She was Priam's wife, mother of Cassandra and Hector and, you know, a bunch of other...
Many, yeah.
Yeah, many, many
Depends
kids.
On the source how many children Hecuba actually had.
But the Euripides tragedy is it's after the fall of Troy. So
Correct.
She's been dethroned and captured.
She's fallen from a great height.
Yeah.
And yeah, is
she's actually enslaved.
Right.
And the text from Helen where some of her former, you know, ladies-in-waiting, nobility, and now slaves, Euripides loves those enormous reversals. And the text for this one is really pretty much Hecuba lamenting there is no comfort for her anywhere. It's not a... Not a happy moment.
All right. Well, we'll drown in tragedy together then. Here's a live performance by the band called Oracle Hysterical from their album called Hecuba. They're playing some of these songs for us live here in the studio. And this is the concluding track called No Comfort.
No comfort.
The song is called No Comfort. Boy, that is sad. That is the band Oracle Hysterical, and that's the concluding track from their brand new album called Hecuba. And Doug, you switched to yet another instrument for that song, from the viola da gamba to the orchestral double bass.
That's right. In fact, Baroque double bass with gut strings on it.
And the same bow that you used for the viola da gamba. So is that a Baroque bow?
This is a Baroque bass bow that I've sort of repurposed as a gamba bow also, just because I love that, and it's one less bow to carry around.
Right. Said the guy who came in with three different instruments over his shoulders.
That's it.
Now, Majel, you sing opera as well, contemporary opera. So you've got, you know, you have that voice somewhere in you. But for this project, for Oracle Hysterical, it's a more natural style of singing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that, how do you decide when to, quote unquote, turn it on and when to turn it off, you know, when it comes to, you know, dipping into the operatic stuff?
Yeah, it's nice to have that tool in the toolkit, just for the sake of diversity, to be able to, like you're saying, kind of hit a button and do something a little bit more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But I gravitated away from opera a while ago because, for whatever reason, rather than the technique of opera feeling freeing to me, it felt more restrictive, and I could never find what felt like an organic and satisfying way of singing to me. So that is where my training is, but I have folks like Sharanova who have forged a different, more hybrid path,
right,
and
right.
With people like her as an example, I've been just kind of trying out a new version of what I want to sound like, and it just feels like a more unpredictable way to sing.
For folks who aren't familiar with Shara Nova, formerly Shara Warden, check out her band My Brightest Diamond for what Majel's talking about, this interesting balancing act between trained voice and a more organic, natural sound. When you have a composer like Caroline Shaw writing an opera for you and a string quartet, is that the operatic voice, or is that, you know, do you get to use this voice?
That's almost like a voice that Doug invented for me, I think. Doug likes to push me up into the upper register where I would normally have to dial in the opera stuff, but I try to temper it.
She walks the line as long as she can.
Yeah, I try to temper it as much as possible with that more pop sensibility.
As much as poppable. I saw that Caroline Shaw piece, and it really was like a kind of third voice that exists like really halfway between those two worlds. It was pretty cool.
Doug composed another piece on that exact same program.
Uh-huh. Right. Now, speaking of between the two worlds, Doug, who do you see as the audience for this band? Is it a...
Folks on the L train. I think they would all love this. I certainly don't think you need to know the Euripides story. We're not aiming specifically at a sort of literary elite. It should be music that you can listen to at home or in the car or wherever. Knowing the story, you know, just gives a bit of depth and context for it. And I think we use a lot of these sort of older instruments and bardic storytelling styles just because we're interested in the ancient place. But you don't, you know, maybe the music can take you there.
Right.
Or it can keep you right here in New York right now if that's where you want to be.
The band is Oracle Hysterical. They've been here with us on Soundcheck today. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us a little taste of Hecuba.
Thank you for having us, John.
This is Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.